Administrative Finance Committee meeting for May 2018. I'd like to announce on the recording, I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes. I want to recognize members of council have joined us in the committee meeting. Councilman Sheldon is here, Councilman Woods, Councilman Smiley. I guess hopefully other members will join us. We're not going to be able to approve the minutes because we don't have a quorum. We're going to begin this extremely truncated agenda today. Moving on to resolutions, we have none. I'd like to recognize Councilman Bell has joined us at the table. Moving on to ordinances, we have none. So we're on to the other part of the agenda. Under other, we have a bullet point update on the council document archiving project.
Actually, there's no sense in trying to move forward with that at this moment because we need a quorum for what I need to do. And the same is true for the next bullet item, which is the grants. So I make a motion we go out of order to the expense and revenue roundtable.
We have a motion to go out of order to the
second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that was Councilman Smiley making that announcement. So we're going to begin immediately with the expense and revenue roundtable, and our CFO, Maxwell, is here. Please bring forward what you intend to present to council.
Thank
you.
Okay, so I have with me today Karen Smalls. Karen joined the county in January 16th of 2018. And she replaced Ron Russell, who was the manager of the accounting area. And one of the tasks that I gave to Karen when she first arrived here at the county was to take a look at the CAFR and look at the overall financials of the county and see, check on the finances. And part of that is checking on the available cash balance of the county. And so today, have Karen, who's going to present to you her finding with regards to that review that took place. So I'm going to turn it over to Karen. We do have a handout here that I'll hand out, but it'll also be up on the screen.
I'd like to recognize that Councilwoman Dilla has joined us.
Hi, this is Karen Smalls, managing the accounting section within the Office of Finance. As Brian mentioned, I started in January, and I was tasked with reviewing the CAFR, as well as other financial reports of the county. In reviewing the CAFR, one item that stood out was the $3 million designation of fund balance for a note receivable. When I was reviewing that further, I determined that the county prepares an annual computation of available cash balance. And starting with the fiscal year 16 computation, so as of June 30th, 2016, I found that the language of the note was updated to include additional language, and that's what you see highlighted in yellow. Originally, the note read that since available cash balance is to be used to balance the budget for the succeeding fiscal year, amounts of easily liquidated assets not expected to be realized in cash within the budget period should be excluded from the computation. Starting in fiscal year 16, the report included the language, however, included in the computation is a note receivable that could be liquidated should a cash need arise. This language is directly in reference to a $3 million note receivable from the Delaware Board of Trade Holdings, which is DBOT. The accounting included the $3 million in the computation of available cash balance, which is on the second page of the handout that you have. So you'll see there's a line that has cash, cash equivalents, and investments. And then starting in June 30, 2016, they also included the note receivable of $3 million as an available cash amount. And that amount should not have been included in that calculation. This $3 million loan is not an on-demand loan. It's not due and payable until November 25th, 2020. So it should never have been included in the cash and cash equivalents, investments, and available cash balance.
I'd like to pause for a minute. I'd like to recognize Councilman Hollins and Councilman Street have joined us. We now have a quorum. Do I have a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion minutes of the 24th of April.
Mr. Chairman.
Finance Committee meeting. Yes.
I also like to move to approve the minutes of the May 7th budget meeting, since we don't have another one coming up.
Second.
Thank you. Motion is second on that. All those in favor approving the previous minutes of the previous Finance Committee meeting and the budget discussion meeting of yesterday, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. And Councilman Schutte, Councilman Hollins have joined us, just to reiterate. Thank you. Please proceed.
So by including that $3 million note receivable in this balance, then it has been overstated by $3 million. Now the impact of that is on the final page of your handout. And this flows through to the calculation of the tax stabilization reserve. So in fiscal year 16, you'll see in the far right column where they have the cash and cash equivalents, the cash restricted, and the notes receivable of $3 million. And when you back out the vouchers payable due to other funds, other liabilities, encumbrances, escrowed amounts, then it gives you an available cash balance of $85 million. That available cash balance should have actually been $82 million because that $3 million should not have been included. After you back out the rainy day reserve, the realty transfer tax, and the strategic economic fund, then the tax stabilization reserve as of year end fiscal year 16 should have been $32 million instead of $35 million. And then that also flows through to fiscal year 17 because that $3 million once again is included in the available cash balance as of June 30th, 2017. So the tax stabilization reserve as of June 30th, 2017 was reported as $28.6 million. When it should have been reported as $25.6 million.
Are there any questions, comments from members of council? The loan to DBOT can't be made liquid in any easy fashion. It's not due for some outlying years. So I agree with this recalculation of the tax stabilization reserve. Are there any questions from members of council on this? I appreciate the fine-tooth combing of our financials so that we understand exactly where we are in terms of our reserve funds. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to put it on the record. I did do an outreach yesterday to DBOT, just outlining that, you know, we're trying to balance a budget, we're trying to bring everything together. And would it be possible to get a $3 million check this week? And they advised me that they aren't in a position to do that, but I felt it only prudent to reach out. Because there's two triggers. One is the date, and the other is once they reach the $15 million investment and didn't know where they were with that. So I was hoping, but I did make a phone call and ask.
Councilman Sheldon.
Yeah, I looked at the promissory note. I have it right here. And like Mr. Smiley said, when you get up to $15 million, are we able to find out what they have?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a government yet that was not, when they loaned money or gave money, grants, did not audit that particular thing. So I'm not saying we audit, but at least can we get close to an answer what they're worth.
I'll speak to that. CFO Brian Maxwell, I know the law office has also been in contact with the Delaware Board of Trade as to requesting repayment of the funds. So there's been dialogue as to that, but to date we haven't been successful in getting a commitment from them. So your suggestion to ask for financials regarding their position and where they stand with regards to that, we will take that back and make a request at that time.
Councilman Smiling.
I know we're going to have a face-to-face. Councilman Sheldon, you may have been there the last time we were there, mm-hmm. and the county executive was actually broaching that subject with them and never got answer. It's just we got more coming, we got that. Never got an investment dollar amount, and they weren't forthcoming with me yesterday about how close they were. Because, quite honest, November 25th, 2020, it's not that far off when you're looking at that kind of money. So, I closed with, you might want to start looking for another investor to give you a grant and so you'll be able to timely repay us.
Councilman Shelby.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I brought this up, because a constituent brought it up, and actually, I guess we can go on Delaware Line. They got an investment from, I think, a Chinese firm, from Middle East. I don't know if it was South Saudi Arabia or not. I don't remember. But they had that, and they showed it to me. I gave them, they wanted the papers back. I should have got copies. But, I mean, if you look at that, doesn't mean it's true. Some people exaggerate, you know. And anyway, it sounded like they had a lot of money. But let's face it, they told us they were going to do a million transfers a week. And I think they're at 20.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just, but yeah, we should be able to see. My whole thing is we should be able to see what they have and don't have. They don't have it.
I'm still optimistic and hopeful it'll work.
Any other questions or comments? Councilman Street.
All right. You take the $3 million out of receivables. Where does it go?
Good question.
All right. Karen Smalls accounting. So you're not actually taking a receivable off of the financial statements. What you're taking, this is not your actual financial statement. This is not your CAFR. This is just a calculation of your available cash balance. So you should not include that $3 million in your available cash balance because it's not on demand. It's still showing up as a note receivable on the year-end financial statements in the CAFR.
I understand that, okay? But to take it all to eliminate it here, essentially you're saying it's a good possibility you're not going to get it. So the note, or so-called note, is worthless.
This calculation is for cash that you expect to receive available to you within the next fiscal year, and since that is not available in the next fiscal year, then that's why it should be included here. You're not stating that you're not going to receive it, but what you are saying is that it's not due and on demand within the next year.
All right, I'd like to recognize the Council President Hartley Nagels joined us. Councilman Smiley.
So, FY21, it could be placed in this line. Because it would be due and receivable
in that fiscal year. Yes.
So in that fiscal year, it would be correct to show it in this line.
Correct. And then when that $3 million is received, then it would proportionately increase the reserve.
Are there any other questions on this matter for members of council? I just had two points. Number one, are they current on their interest payment?
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, to go to Councilman Sheldon's issue about discovering more about them financially in terms of the $15 million threshold for repayment, they have to make filings with the SEC, I would assume. And would those filings include, you know, some kind of balance sheets, for the company, because it's a highly regulated industry by the SEC, and I'm sure there's extensive filings that they have to make, corporate earnings, corporate, I don't know. Just a question.
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. I'm not sure as to what filings. I haven't investigated it to that level. What I can tell you is I'll be working with the Office of Law, since they've been engaged with the counterparty, mm-hmm. and working with them to possibly draft a letter requesting the information that has been expressed here as a desire of counsel.
Okay, very good. Councilman Smiley, then the county auditor.
And the only other, I want to be fair, you know, fair to me, I just should be noted that the interest payments that they have been required to make had been made before they were due. So they have made them in advance of when they were due.
Okay.
So they've been more than on time with meeting the obligations of the agreement that they signed.
All right. County Auditor?
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. I remember last year the representative in D-Block came to the County Council Finance Committee meeting and gave an update. And I remember Councilman Kilpatrick, and I'd have to go back and listen to the tape, tape, but I remember her asking about financial reports, and I thought the gentleman that was sitting there was going to get, said he was going to get back to us, and I don't know what happened.
All right. Thank you.
Motion return or recall, I'm sorry.
Councilman Street.
So, for purposes of this exercise, is the interest, however little it is or much it is, that we've been receiving included in what's set forth here?
So the interest is $180,000.
Please identify yourself.
Karen Smalls Accounting. The interest is $180,000 every November. They have been paying timely. And once it's deposited, then it is included in the cash investment balances.
Are there any other questions, comments? Yes.
Just another comment. Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. Just since the council has been briefed, you know, we want to move forward with amending the online checkbook, because right now it's overstated by $3 million. So I want everybody to understand that. When you go out to the checkbook, the checkbook that's out there right now starts the fiscal year with a $28 million balance in the tax stabilization reserve at the top. We're going to revise that down to appropriately reflect this information down to $25 million.
Motion to return to regular order of business.
Go to second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're going to go back to regular order of business. And just to update the record on council members, council member Kilpatrick will not be here. And Councilman Weiner's accompanying his wife, waiting for her to come out of surgery. As well known, she was in a very serious auto accident, so he will not be here. Going back to the regular agenda, bullet point, Newcastle County, under other Newcastle County Council grant requests, community events.
Number one.
Yes.
Update.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me. Update on council document archiving project. So we have a quorum that you requested, sir. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Councilman Smiley.
Council's had several projects these past few years back, Betsy, that did not move forward. We now have an issue because of time with deterioration as well as storage, as well as council members asking for certain things. Now, I've worked with the clerk of council, acting deputy clerk of council, and the policy director. One of these, well, I'll go through and let you know, is the scanning of our documents to put into the system, because right now they're all on paper, all in the storeroom, and fading, whatever. So that project is, we have a price of $17,645.90. The other part is to have the audio tapes transferred over to MP3. And by the way, some of these documents go back to a scan system, which we have here, that doesn't even work anymore. You can't get parts for it anymore. And these are both with data management, which the county has a contract with. The other is to remove, to transfer the audio tapes to MP3, which is what we go through and utilize now. That would be $22,200. And the last one at $1,725 is a project that we've been hearing about for years, and that is to fix all the pictures, correct the plating, some of them have wrong names on them, everything else, and make that uniform. Now, working with Mr. Boyle, we've gone through and scrutinized the budget, the council budget, in depth. And the reason I'm here with you now, we've gotten approval, worked through the finance department, to be able to encumber funds in a PO past this budget year. So what I'm asking council for is an approval to expend up to $45,000 out of this budget, if it's there. we don't know how much is going to be left. So we're looking and monitoring. So whatever we have left that's available in order to be able to get these projects underway, if not completed, because the chances are very good we won't have another meeting at that time, we're looking for approval to be able to pull the plug, get the POs, and encumber those funds to get these projects going and do it with the funds that we have in the FY18 budget, whatever's left, rather than carry it into next year and then probably not be able to do it next year. But these things have been pushed back year after year after year. So we're at a point where this is what I'm asking for approval to encumber up to a maximum of $45,000 for council at the end of the budget year for these three council projects.
You want to put it in the form of a motion, sir?
Just do.
All right.
Second.
Second. All right. Discussion. Discussion.
Under discussion, are employees right now not able to scan things in? You know, you're talking about a backlog of things.
Not the volume of documents we're talking about. Not the volume. We're talking...
If it's been put off years, is it going to hurt us to do it in increments?
I think the cost for personnel, as well as us needing to buy the equipment that we're going to need to do this, will far exceed what this would be. That's why, even though the Recorder of Deeds has a lot of the equipment, even they went to an outside firm to come in to get it done. And the documents that we have, the sooner we clear it up, then we will archive them through the state. So there will still be here.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're not spending money we don't need to if we can, you know, can do it in-house. So
I wouldn't either. I actually jokingly discussed buying 13 tape players and 13 MP3 recorders and putting one in every office and just... But yeah, the idea is to try to get it done professionally. I can tell you, I've transferred things myself and didn't turn out right. But I agree. If we could do it cheaper or do it in-house, we would do it.
That was the council president commenting on that and discussing that. I had a question. Would the clerk of council have to make a comment on this motion or talk about this issue?
Sure. I mean, Nellie Hill, clerk of council, I can elaborate a little bit on the necessity to do it all at once. Right now the documents are not in a very secure location. So we just have some concern with the degradation of the documents that could occur. They're going back to, I think it's the 60s. So this is a high volume. I think everything online is 2004 on. So we're talking about like decades of time. And the specific program that you need, we only have one scanner in the office that can link to that program. The company that we're using already puts documents for land use, some of the other departments, law, I think, on the county system that we can then easily transfer over to the web page so people can just go online, search as they do for everything from 2004 forward, and just pull them up. We get lots of requests for back ordinances, the law department's doing research. We have to stop everything, pull those, go downstairs, search through the boxes, find them. Those are the only signed copies that exist. So we just have a real concern that should anything catastrophic happen in the building, like those things are lost. The microfiche, we have the microfiche machine. It's on its last leg, and our understanding is we can't even get parts to replace it. So we just have a fear that we won't actually be able to pull the data for people that are requesting it. So if we can get it digitized, while it seems like a lot of money, I think in the end it's well worth it when we think about what could happen if we lose those documents. So,
Councilman Street.
Non-technical person. Just asking technical question. You put in the system, you scan it, is it backed up somewhere?
Yes, we've been assured that
as Councilman Street,
it's tracked up on several servers for the county, and then if we move to a cloud in the future, all of these documents could easily be pulled over to a cloud storage service.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion on the table for up to $45,000 pending the end of the year budget to move ahead with the council document archiving projects. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. Thank you. Thank you on that, Councilman Smiley. Clerk of Council, it's a very important thing to preserve all documents related to the activities of this body. Newcastle County Council grant request, community events. All right, moving along. Everett Theater, Councilman Powers. I think Karen Barlow is here, legislative aide for Councilman Bell, to speak to this. Thank
Karen
you.
Karen Barlow, on behalf of Councilman Powers, he would like to give $2,375 to help repair a steam pipe leaks in the boiler.
Okay. Want to put that in the form of a motion, Councilman Bell?
Yes. Move that the grant $2,375 be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for the grant to the Everett Theater on behalf of Councilman Powers. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voted.
All right, the grant is approved for the Everett Theater project. All right, also next, Ms. Barlow, we have a Newcastle County Cooperative Extension 4-H After School Program. Were you speaking that as well, I believe?
On behalf of Karen Barlow, Councilman Bell's aide, on behalf of Councilman Powers, he would like to give $1,500, and these funds will be used for equipment to support the 4-H library programs, after school programs, and summer camps.
Councilman
Bell. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, the grant is approved through the 4-H Cooperative Extension After School Program. Southern Newcastle County Rotary Club, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular grant, both Councilman Powers and myself have joined together each year to support the Southern Newcastle County Rotary organization. And basically, this is to support Flags for Heroes during the week prior to Memorial Day and after Memorial Day up through Veterans Day. It's quite an impressive display of American flags that are at the Middletown High School. And what we do is we actually select names of fallen heroes, both in our county police, Wilmington Fire, public safety, our community, Joe Retta, and name those individuals. Those flags are dedicated in respect to those individuals that have served others.
Want to put that in the form of a motion?
Yes, I make a motion that council authorize Councilman Bell, Councilman Powers, to provide the $600 grant for the Southern Newcastle County Rotary.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voted.
Great project, and I can recall seeing it in the News Journal, pictures of that. Quite impressive. All right. Roseville Park Civic Association, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, the $600 they're requesting helps with the expenses of maintaining the main entrance area that Del Dot used to do, but it hasn't done in 20 years. So as a civic association, we took it over. So I make a motion for $600.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voted.
All right, the grant for the Roseville Park Civic Association has been approved. Epilepsy Foundation of Delaware, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, this is the third year we have sponsored some type of money, and this goes to addition funding for the Freedom from Seizures 5K, which happens in June. So it's a sponsorship. We'll actually get a little banner from Newcastle County Council. So I make a motion to award $1,000. Funding.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the Epilepsy Foundation of Delaware grant is approved. Newark Arts Alliance, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, this provides funding for their Art to Go program, which actually is a mobile unit that goes in to provide art programming for underserved areas, and it also will provide some money for their summer camp, their scholarships for their summer camp. So I'd make a motion for $2,000 for the Newark Arts Alliance.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not
voted. All right, great project, very creative project by the Newark Arts Alliance. I think that's someone's model across the county. even. All right, my grant is the last one, Neiman's Creek Watershed Association. What this is a grant application for, the annual cost of the annual cleanup that they conduct in the Neiman's watershed in the district. It's been going on probably over 25 years, and it runs in conjunction with the Christina watershed cleanup event. So I have like to make a motion of $350 to the Neiman's Creek Watershed Association for the annual creek cleanup.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
All right, the grant is approved for $350 for Neiman's Creek Watershed. We already went through expense and revenue roundtable. I don't know if there's anything else for expense and revenue roundtable. All right, moving on to comments, buddy. Excuse me, Councilman Sheldon.
This would be under other. I just reminding everybody, I know Councilman Smiley, I don't know if you had your event or not, for the trash, for the hall. And we have these, you know, community events. Remember, we still have probably $4,000 that we can use to give to the community as far as tipping fees and everything. And as far as I know, maybe Councilman Smalley, he's got experience at it, can tell what they did.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it hasn't taken place yet. We're talking about the community cleanup with the dumpsters.
Yeah, the dumpsters.
But it's Councilman Smalley. Yes.
To be honest with you, I couldn't find the documentation. I reached out to Councilman Sheldon. He gave me the name, the contact information. I contacted him, and quite honestly, I really hope it works out, because I sent one email with contact people in the community, the locations where they wanted the roll-offs, and when they wanted them. And that's all I had to do. From there, the Solid Waste Authority connects with them, they connect with the trash company gets a hold of them, and it's soup to nuts day. So I'm holding my breath hoping it works out. Of course, I've had them not work out through the other process, so, but that was all it was. It only one email, and I was told, out of your hands, you don't have to worry about a thing, we'll take care of it all. So.
Well, I'm glad you're providing a reminder about this, because I have a claim on Green Day coming up June 8th, I believe.
Yep.
And I've got a need. Yeah. So we'll press ahead with that. And
because I just want to say, I've had several communities who used to do the cleanups, but when they did the census, that we ended up with the new census tracts, because their lines were pushed south and ended up picking up a couple of communities that were deemed to have higher income levels. Mm-hmm. It skewed the numbers so that although these communities have not been blessed with additional income and everything at all, they now don't meet the federal requirements. Their income level is outside of it. So this plan doesn't look at that at all. So
and we can fill in the gap. Council President Nagel.
I just wanted to find out what we were discussing when I came in. For myself, I look at the agenda, and as you know, sometimes meetings run over, and if it's meetings in the morning start running over, it sort of follows the rest of the day. And I look at our agenda to find out what am I going to miss, and what do I really need to be there for, and cut a meeting short. And so if we can make sure that things are on the agenda ahead of time, or if not, we get an email that says that there's going to be a change, so that looked important. When I came in, I got the tail end. So maybe you can share, I think myself and someone else came in at the last minute.
Right.
You know, afterwards, what good, is it that...
Good point. Councilman Smiley.
No, I just will say, at times, as in this case, there's something that comes up that we become aware of or not aware of, and that's why we have the expense and revenue roundtable, as well as the comments from the executive committee, because everything isn't known in advance, and this was one of those situations here where something came up and it needed to be presented.
Okay, are we going to, can I find out what it was?
Sure.
There you go.
Okay. Because I know that myself, as well as I'm sure members of the public, look to this and they decide what they want to come in, if it's important to them to be here in person.
And that's why others aren't everyone, too. You never know what can come up in short notice.
All right. Comments by the county executive branch. Anything for today?
Sure. Brian Boyle with the executive's office.
Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Smiley, and the county executive were down in Dover last Wednesday for the House Administrative Committee hearing. House Bill 377, the bill that enables the county to enact a lodging tax, was on the agenda, and in spite of the hotel industry members showing up in opposition to the bill, 4 out of 5 members signed the backer to get it out of committee. That bill is on the agenda today. House Bill 380 is the bill that creates a first-time homebuyer exemption for the state's portion of the RTT. We have an amendment that Representative Trey Pardee is planning to introduce today. Bill's also on the agenda. It would enable Newcastle County to put a similar cap for our exemption to the cap that's envisioned in the House bill. So those are on the agenda today. One other thing I wanted to inform council, we've held 9 town halls so far. We have 3 more scheduled for next week. And part of the town hall, we did a poll. We were using software to do an interactive poll using your smartphone. We had 118 residents participate in that poll. One of the questions they were asked was, how would you like us to balance the budget? We gave them 2 options. One was balance it through cuts. The other was to balance it through a combination of cuts, property tax increases, and the state revenue package. 17 of the 118 chose cuts. 101, or 86%, chose the combination that was offered. So I thought it was important that we inform council so far, and we have 3 more next week. Happy to inform council after those take place as well.
Council President.
Yes, I just wanted to find out, I understand that Representative Bomback was going to be introducing a resolution from Newark, through the council,
sure,
to exclude Newark from, or to allow Newark to collect the taxes versus it going to the county. Did that happen?
Got it.
Yeah, I'll let you clean up if I get it wrong, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I think so. So House Bill 395, Ryan Will, the executive office, House Bill 395 would enable the smaller municipalities than Wilmington to have a hotel tax. 377 enables us to do a hotel tax in unincorporated Newcastle County. So we would not collect a hotel tax in municipalities like Newark. Am I missing anything?
Councilman Smiley.
And I sent all the council an email with just to follow up. The residency bill did come out of committee on the same day. However, that has not been moved to the count, to the floor. These two are budget related. They're more important. We will get that coming forward shortly. I'll let you know when that is scheduled for the House floor as well. I will just say, some things never amaze me. The amount of questions I had on a bill that just gives the county the same residency time that the state put in was amazing. But anyway, got handled and came out with 5 out of 5. So I'll let you know when that's scheduled on the agenda for the House.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. We're moving on to other. Anything under other? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point of observation, attending a couple of the town hall meetings, and it was conveyed to me as a councilman after the meeting at Odessa, was that utilization of a cell phone and an app and voting in a meeting, for the majority of the people that are middle age or elder, they really didn't like that. They thought that it was more like a game show, and we had folks actually at the Odessa meeting that got up and walked out. And there were others that made comment afterwards. And I just share that with you because all the new technology, Facebook and everything else, folks walking around with a notebook and, you know, taking pictures of everybody and doing everything live. There are still a lot of folks in our communities that are not up in that day and age of having somebody Facebook them or having to go and vote on a phone. And I think when you look at the overall numbers of the total number of town hall meetings and a little bit more than 100 people out of how many hundreds of thousands of people in our county that have voted in favor of something, doesn't look like the majority of them use the the app and everything, but it's constructive criticism, and it's kind of a request for the future that you need to take into consideration that everyone is not, you know, real fast on a computer and texting. I mean, I watch my grandchildren,
right,
and they can take a notebook and they can take a iPod, and my God, I mean, it's like second nature. They can do it, and they're looking and talking to you, and then comes all the little emojis and everything else to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just ask that we keep in mind that we still have a very strong populace in the county that are not at that age, and so it's just constructive input.
And I agree that the digital divide is a reality. I will say that with my town hall, there was extensive presentation of slides that people can relate to and read. You know, it was a mixture of a presentation, and I can say that people kind of like getting involved in the app-based polling, and it produced results that had nothing to do, to a huge extent, with the county budget, but expressed community, collective, aspirations. So, yeah. Mr. Boyle.
Yeah, Ryan Boyle. I appreciate the constructive feedback. There's a challenge with town halls that oftentimes a few loud voices carry the conversation. The poll is an attempt to try to incorporate more people. One thing that we've started to incorporate is an ability to write down answers. So your constructive criticism is what was.
Yep. Thank you.
Council President.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up under other on. For Student Government Day, I know that I didn't get an email until Tuesday, and I tried to change my schedule around for Friday, but it was packed. I wasn't able to do it, I wasn't able to make that. But last year, I worked with Betsy and Rashad in order to organize it, and council was involved. This year, I found out through the executive side that our employees had worked with the executive side to make this happen, and I had to work around them, even if I was able to make it, and finding out at the last minute. This is Student Government Day, and then this morning I see on Facebook, as I'm checking mine, it's coming through that, and I'm glad that a couple members were able to make it, but not all of us were. Council members Lisa Diller, John Cartier, Tim Sheldon, and Ken Woods joined County Executive Matt Meyer and Police Chief Lieutenant Quinton Watson in participating in today's Student Government Day. The students had a great time having a mock election and council meeting. This is something we do as council. This is not the executive side. It's something I believe that we put on. We should be more involved. And also the row offices were not involved or invited. You know, so this is something for next year. I want to make sure that we're involved, that county council president is involved, and has enough time in advance to make sure that I can be there and work with my schedule, and that it's not just about the county executive schedule. And I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but I'm saying this wasn't very well organized. Certainly we didn't know in time. It is about council in our council chambers, and here it's saying that we're joining the county executive. You know, so that's where the thrust of this was about, where it shouldn't have been.
Councilman Smiley.
I'm not going to dispute because I don't know where you got your information all, but as far as I know from the time I hit before here, this was a county executive event and we were invited into it. My first year I participated, I was actually invited by the executive branch to participate. And for years, it was the executive branch who had people set up down front. And the council has started participating more, but it was an executive branch. They coordinated with the group and everything else to set up, which is why the executive usually comes in, or does come in, speaks first. So I'm just saying, it is an executive branch event, but we participate in it and piggyback on it.
Well, perhaps this would be more of a joint event and
myself.
Make sure that the row offices are involved and everybody has.
Well, if you're
going to
do some of the row offices, unless the people change, it'll have to be a 2-day event.
Well, no, they asked why they weren't invited. I actually had one of them say, why weren't we invited? We're part of the county. And they are.
I've been here 14 years, it was going on before me, and no row officer has ever asked or said anything.
I can just say that I was involved last year. And so that was my first year, that was my first experience. And this was completely the opposite of how it was handled from my first experience and what it was explained to me.
My involvement has been, yes, I show up. But I'm just saying, as far as their offices, they never express an interest, maybe because they know it's just a one-day event. Anyway, next year's another year.
Thank you. Councilman Tapp has joined us. Councilman Street.
We still on the other?
Yes, sir.
Today is school board election day.
Thank you.
Voted absentee yesterday.
All right. Anything else under other?
All right. No adjournment.
Public comment? All right. Motion?
Another motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The Administrative Finance Committee meeting is adjourned for today.